Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I want to warn you, America, that we're gonna hack off a bunch of people today, and it's conservatives, liberals, Republicans, Democrats. I will say this, Boston Celtic fans, yeah, we're gonna tick you off today. Go Grizzlies. Wow, what a game last night. Grace Baker, I was watching, and for one of the, by the way, I'm so glad they have the early games for the NBA playoffs.
Yes.
So, because, you know, we got to get up early, the crack of dawn, to get ready.
Well, only that when they're in Memphis, when they've been in Minnesota the other night, it was like, I think it played at like 9 p.m. at night, and I was like, oh, I hate this.
And we could not hit the backside of a barn last night.
Especially from the free throw line.
Or the three-point line. I'm like, yeah. stop with the three-point shot.
Don't got it tonight, buddy.
So anyway, congratulations. Literally last second win there.
John Morant with a three.
Thanks for John Morant. Yeah, with the three. So, I mean, that was just incredible last night. So, but anyway, we're gonna hack off a lot of people today, and I got a lot to say. But most importantly, I have this to say about Kevin McCarthy, who is the leader of the Republicans in the House of Representatives. The guy's got to go. He's got to go. So does Mitch McConnell. And we're going to be going through a lot of this audio, the secret recordings. I will say this, that I do not believe Liz Cheney was responsible for leaking the audio. And I have a theory about this, and I've been talking to some folks up on Capitol Hill. They've been feeding me some information, leading me to believe that actually this is the work of Elise Stefanik. And I know that she is a big Trump supporter, but she is also a New York liberal, and she wants to be Speaker of the House. That's her goal. And when you listen to the audio recordings that were released, whoever released it was sitting very close to Kevin McCarthy, because the audio quality in some of these recordings is spot on. And that leads me to believe that there may be some truth to these reports that Elise Stefanik is making a play here. But regardless of that, and we have to set that aside for just a moment, and we've got to talk about Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy. Do you, ladies and gentlemen, legitimately believe these men will, the Republicans are going to take control in the midterm elections? It's just now it's a matter of how large the majorities are going to be. That's a given. My concern is, who is going to be leading the Republicans after the midterm elections? Because if it's Kevin McCarthy, you're going to have a closet never Trumper. Do you trust Kevin McCarthy? Do you believe that he is going to represent the values of the Trump administration? Do you believe that he's really a conservative? And what about Mitch McConnell? What about the turtle from the Commonwealth of Kentucky? Do you really believe that he's going to represent the values of conservatives, or quite frankly, Republicans? Because what I'm seeing now is Paul Ryan 2.0. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing crying John Boehner 2.0. So we're going to play some audio from Tucker Carlson's show last night. There are two reasons that I believe Kevin McCarthy has disqualified himself from office. And I haven't heard the argument I'm about to share with you. But first, I want to address something McCarthy said in one of these recordings, where he was now, and you have to go back in time here. All right. Go back to the early days of the Trump administration, when the Republicans, they actually held control of Congress. You had McConnell in the Senate, and you had Paul Ryan in the House of Representatives. So the Republicans controlled everything. They had the House, they had the Senate, They had the White House. They could have done whatever they wanted to do. And a lot of people were very flummoxed at the time because Twitter and Facebook and Google were actively banning conservatives. They were silencing people who supported the president. They silenced people who were attacking Democrats, and it was a full-on assault. And, of course, this was going on before and during the presidential race. And the Republicans promised, and you might remember this, they went out there on Fox News at the time, and they promised that they were going to rein in big tech. That was the big promise. And lo and behold, they never did. Nothing ever changed. Not a single piece of legislation advanced that would address the issues of censorship. Not one. And now we know why. Because it turns out that Kevin McCarthy was working for the other side. And Tucker Carlson brought this up last night on his program, cut number one.
If a billionaire controlled Twitter, he could rig the discourse. That's a fair point. See, the thing about owning a social media company is you could, quote, secretly ban one party's candidate. Or even scarier than that, you could, quote, secretly turn down the reach of their stuff or turn up the reach of something else, and the rest of us might not find out about it until after the election. Yeah. That's a terrifying prospect. Democracy could not withstand that. Let's hope it never happens. What is it about cable television that completely eliminates people's self-awareness? Maybe NIH should do a study on that. It seems like a legitimate health crisis. We're being slightly unfair in that analysis. We do not mean, certainly, to suggest that it's only Democrats who favor censorship for political ends. Republican leaders support it, too. In a phone call reported today by the New York Times, for example, Congressman Kevin McCarthy of California told his close friend Liz Cheney that he hoped the social media companies would censor more conservative Republicans in Congress. Donald Trump, the sitting president, had already been silenced by those companies, but McCarthy wanted the tech oligarchs to do more to force disobedient lawmakers off the internet. Quote, quote, can't they take their Twitter accounts away too? Those are the tape-recorded words of Congressman Kevin McCarthy, a man who in private turns out sounds like an MSNBC contributor. And yet, unless conservatives get their act together right away, Kevin McCarthy or one of his highly liberal allies like Elise Stefanik is very likely to be Speaker of the House in January. That would mean we will have a Republican Congress led by a puppet of the Democratic Party. So you wouldn't know any of this unless it was leaked. And you can start to see why the people in charge oppose transparency and fervently support censorship on both sides. Why? Because the more you know about them, the less satisfied you're likely to become with their leadership.
All right, there you go. So Tucker Carlson confirming the information we have that Kevin McCarthy and the New York Times has the recordings, and the New York Times reported on all of this, that Kevin McCarthy was actively working to silence conservatives on social media. He literally asked out loud if there was a way to take away their Twitter accounts. People like Lauren Boebert, people like Louie Gohmert and Mo Brooks, Marjorie Taylor Greene. He wanted Twitter to take down their accounts. This is the leader of the Republicans on Capitol Hill. But keep in mind, Republicans controlled Congress for the first 2 years of the president's administration, and they did nothing. And the reason why is because Kevin McCarthy was on the side of big tech and not the American people. That in and of itself should disqualify him from Republican leadership. But there's something else, and this is, and bear with me here as we go through this. By the way, he also talked and had something to say about Matt Gaetz. We're talking about Kevin McCarthy here. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But last week, we had some other McCarthy audio on, and I want you to hear what McCarthy had to say.
Liz, you on the phone?
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks, Kevin. I guess there's a question. When we were talking about the 25th Amendment resolution, and you asked if you know what happens if it gets there after he's gone, is there any chance, are you hearing, that he might resign? Is there any reason to think that might happen?
I've had some few discussions. My gut tells me no. I'm seriously thinking of having that conversation with him tonight. I haven't talked to him in a couple days. From what I know of him, I mean, you guys all know him too. Do you think he'd ever back away? But what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to call him. This is what I think. No one will pass the House. I think there's a chance he'll pass the Senate even when he's gone. And I think there's a lot of different ramifications for that. Now, I haven't had a discussion with the Dems that if he did resign, would it not happen? Now, this is one personal fear I have. I do not want to get into any conversations about Pence pardoning. Again, I mean, the only discussion I would have with him is that I think this will pass, and it would be my recommendation we should resign. I mean, that would be my take, but I don't think he would take it, but I don't know.
So, McCarthy, everything you just heard McCarthy say on that tape, he told the New York Times the week before he never said it. Never happened, never said that. And the New York Times says, well, oh, yes, you did, and we've got the audio tapes to back it up. So in this instance, the New York Times actually has more integrity than Kevin McCarthy does. And Kevin McCarthy, quite frankly, is in fact a puppet of the Democrat Party and big tech. And we'll get to Mitch McConnell in just a little bit. But I want you to hear me out here, because we have been after Liz Cheney and her behavior on this radio program for quite some time. But now we know that Liz Cheney may have been hung out to dry here by none other than Kevin McCarthy. Maybe, just maybe, it was Kevin McCarthy and Elise Stefanik who were ganging up and trying to take out Liz Cheney and stop her. Because when you step back and you look at what Kevin McCarthy was saying in private, not in public, in public, oh, I just love the president. Oh, I worship you. Mr. President, may I kiss you on your buttocks? I just worship you, Mr. President. Oh, I want to make America great again. But behind the scenes, he was trying to crucify the president. He was trying to destroy the president. Now, what's fascinating here is that Liz Cheney is the same person behind closed doors as she is in public. Kevin McCarthy is not. Kevin McCarthy was saying the exact same thing that Liz Cheney was saying behind closed doors in private, but then in public he's bashing Liz Cheney and he's embracing President Trump. So now we have not only the New York Times, which has more integrity than Kevin McCarthy, we also have Liz Cheney, who has more integrity than Kevin McCarthy. But I want you to put a pin right there in that conversation. And I want you to, we're just going to play a hypothetical here. And for you folks that are monitoring our program in your mother's basements, put down your Cheetos and understand that hypothetical does not mean this is real. All right? It's hypothetical. Let's just assume for a moment that Kevin McCarthy turned out to be right, that Donald Trump was, as J.D. Vance called him, America's Hitler. And let's just say that President Trump was, in fact, responsible for what happened on January the 6th. Let's say the president actually plotted and planned, as Kevin McCarthy seemed to believe in these secret recordings. What does it say about Kevin McCarthy that this man, as a leader on Capitol Hill, did not rise up and condemn the president and condemn everybody who was storming the Capitol at that very moment? That, to me, is the very definition of treason and cowardice. You have a man, and again, we're in a hypothetical world here, but if, in fact, Trump was a bad guy, Kevin McCarthy knew it and said nothing because it was all about politics and power for him. Folks, I don't want that man anywhere around leadership in the Republican Party. This is not the behavior of a good and decent man. That's a coward right there, a coward. And I will say this. I don't believe President Trump, based on all the text messages that have been leaked. And by the way, who do you think is leaking those text messages? Again, I don't think it's Liz Cheney. There's something else going on here. There's a power play afoot. And somebody needs to be asking some very hard questions of Elise Stefanik, but she won't come on this radio program. So that's probably not going to happen. All right, a lot more to say about this, but I'm curious. Do you believe Kevin McCarthy is capable of leading the Republicans? Because he, right now, he will be the next Speaker of the House unless the base of the party, our listeners, rise up and say, not going to happen. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. And let me say this. If the choice is between Liz Cheney and Kevin McCarthy for leadership, I'd go with Liz Cheney because at least you know where she stands on stuff. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Friends, since November of last year, the stock market has plummeted, but gold has been on the rise. Gas prices are insane. The stock market extremely volatile. Inflation is even worse than it was last year, and now we have a war with Russia and Ukraine that could spread to the rest of the world. The markets do not like instability. The good news, you have options. Gold prices are rising as investors turn to gold for protection. Gold provides a hedge against inflation and protects against a weakening dollar. Legacy Precious Metals is the only company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You need an investment that will protect your wealth and retirement. Be proactive while there's still time. Remember 2008? Those invested in gold saw huge gains while others lost their retirements. Legacy Precious Metals can advise you on all of your options for investing in gold and silver. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals, 866-528-1903, or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com. Here's where I think we need to go with all of this, and bear with me for a moment here, ladies and gentlemen. I think Donald Trump needs to be named Speaker of the House. The Republicans win the majority. They name Trump as the Speaker of the House. Now, remember, according to the Constitution, the Speaker of the House does not have to be a sitting member of Congress. So the Republicans could go out on their own here, and I think there would be enough votes for this to happen. But if the choice is Kevin McCarthy, I say let's get Trump and let's get the Republicans on Capitol Hill to make him Speaker of the House. And, folks, I'm telling you, it would revolutionize how the Republicans run Congress. Now, you say, well, Todd, what about 2024? There's nothing wrong with 2024. If the president does a great job as Speaker of the House, which I have no doubt he would do, that gives him a great platform to launch his presidential campaign. And by that point, hopefully there would be somebody within the House of Representatives and the Republican caucus that would be rising up as the next leader. Otherwise, I think Jim Jordan would make a terrific Speaker of the House. But the best Speaker of the House, in my estimation, would be Donald John Trump. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Now, I want to share this with you as well before we have to go to break here. This week, we are pushing my brand new book, Our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl. And we want to sell 10,000 copies of this book this week. And I think it's doable with our massive audience. But you need to go to our website right now, toddstearns.com, and get yourself a copy. Click on our store, and I'm going to autograph that thing for you. It makes a great Mother's Day gift, by the way. But we want to get as many biscuit books out into the general population as possible, and you can do that at toddstearns.com. Again, our number, 844-747-8868. What do you think about Trump, Speaker of the House? Now, that would be a little bit of history. We'll be right back, America. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I am trying to live healthier. And one of the ways I've done that is by taking dietary supplements. But I've discovered a problem. I don't like taking pills, especially the big giant health pills. So I've got some great news for all of us. Healthy Cell is the next generation of dietary supplements. So if you take a supplement in pill form now, you got to change. And here's the reason why. It turns out you don't absorb most of the nutrients in pill form. They can be hard to swallow. Vitamins you can't absorb. Well, they're a waste of money. And that's why doctors have created Healthy Cell. It's a great tasting, ingestible gel with 165% more absorption than pills. And by the way, they taste delicious. So switch to Healthy Cell and fuel your brain and body with great tasting nutrition. Go to HealthyCell.com. I've arranged for my listeners to receive an exclusive 20% off your entire first order at HealthyCell.com. Use the code Todd at checkout. All right, folks, get yourself our daily biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. We want to hit the New York Times bestseller list this week, and so we need your help, and that's why we're asking you to do this. You can get the book wherever you buy your books. It might be Amazon. I'd love to sign a copy for you over at ToddStearns.com, but we need your help this week to get our daily biscuit on the New York Times bestseller list. Also, don't forget Saturday, everybody. Huge, huge event for conservatives. It's the Culture Engagement Summit. If you want to learn how to take back America, you're going to be able to do that at the Citizens for America or the Citizens for America Foundation event. It's Saturday, April 30th, right here in Memphis, Tennessee, and we have information on our live show blog. If you, as a listener of this program, want to attend, you can do so free of charge, but you got to go to our live show blog and get the registration information. And, man, do we have a great show. Listen up, you folks in Georgia, as promised, Candace Taylor, who's running for governor, she's going to be here in the next hour of the show. Also, our good friend, Pastor Paul Chappell, is going to be here. Congressman Ralph Norman and Ralph Reed is going to drop by, along with our good friend Kristen Hawkins from Students for Life. Grace, could you not find about 12 or 13 other guests to drop by today?
I tried really hard, but no luck.
Oh, my goodness. Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Matt from North Carolina on the line.
Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Going well. Thanks for asking, Matt. What's up?
Yeah, I was just going to address what you had talked about earlier about the debacle that happened in 2016 with it seemed like the Republican control of everything. They didn't have any plans or anything when they took control. Greg Murphy came in and gave a little talk in our area here and said that this time, or I asked him about that, and he said this time around that they were going to I think he said they have five task forces that they put together to address issues so that they're not, so they can hit the ground running compared to what they did in 2016.
Is that right? So you think they're going to be ready to go and rock and roll once they take over the House?
Well, I certainly hope so, because what happened in 2016 was just inexcusable.
Well, I think, Matt, I think what you had back in 2016, flat out, the Republicans were trying to sabotage Trump's agenda. I think that's ultimately what that's all about.
I think you're right. The North Carolina delegation every year has a thing that they do in the fall that their Chamber of Commerce, you know, they bring Chamber of Commerce folks in. And I went to that right before the election and got to see Paul Ryan and Kevin McCarthy and all that. And they just seemed like they were so together. And I was so disappointed to see what they did. I mean, it was awful.
And again, you know, Paul Ryan is a key component here. He is now on the board of directors at Fox News Channel. There was a report out a couple of days ago that Rupert Murdoch, Fox News, are trying to destroy Donald Trump so he cannot run for re-election in 2024. So Paul Ryan is a key to this anti-Trump sentiment within the Republican Party up on Capitol Hill.
Well, you know, like I said, I heard him talk to the our Chamber of Commerce group. He just sounded like he had all these wonderful things in place, and then all of a sudden he was just a big dud.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing at all. All right, Matt, appreciate the intel there, and thanks for listening to us on The Talk Station. Great folks out there. By the way, a lot of North Carolinians are coming to town for the big conference this weekend, so including a lot of folks in the Hendersonville, North Carolina area. So I want to say hello to all of our good listeners, WHKP, and also our brand-new affiliate out in Wichita, Kansas, KQAM. We love you guys out there. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Have you heard this crazy story out of Florida? So you know Ron DeSantis, the great governor there. Governor DeSantis has declared war on the public school system and this wokeness. And he says, we are putting a stop to the wokeness. And what have we been saying on this radio program for years? That you got to get into the school system, and you got to get a hold of the textbooks, because whoever is on that textbook committee, they're the most important people in the room. And Governor DeSantis, clearly somebody on his staff has been listening to our program over the years, because that's exactly what they are doing. And they have banned dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of books from public school classrooms. Most recently, some 50 math books. And we shared some of the data earlier this week, and it's pretty shocking. You've got these math books, and instead of teaching kids that 1 plus 1 equals 2, instead of teaching long-form division, they're teaching critical race theory. It's the most bizarre stuff. And so the governor has declared war on all of this. Well, now there's been a weird development, because an atheist in Florida has decided that if DeSantis is going to start banning books, then by golly, he's going to try and ban the Holy Bible. And that's exactly what this guy is doing. It's the craziest thing. So you've got an atheist, and he is now petitioning school districts to ban the Bible from public school classrooms as well as public school libraries. Chaz Stevens is the guy's name. He's from Deerfield Beach, Florida. And Mr. Stevens is an atheist. He's also a one of these political stunt activists. A couple of years ago, he started complaining because a lot of the city council meetings, they started with a prayer. And so he decided, well, you know what? If you're going to pray in the name of Jesus, then I'm going to pray in the name of Satan. And he launched his campaign to have city council prayers banned, and a lot of city councils just, they waved the white flag of surrender. Oh, we don't want to offend the atheist. So now Mr. Stevens is petitioning 8 public school districts, some of the largest in the state, and demanding that the Bible be removed from school libraries and classrooms. And he says the Bible is filled with inappropriate topics. And he mentions stories about rape, bestiality. He's talking about slavery. He quoted a biblical passage from the book of Ephesians. And a couple of school districts have already launched investigations. You can't make this stuff up. So we'll keep you posted on this, but it's not the first time. You folks in Wichita, you've got your own situation there where you have a city council member trying to ban the Bible as well. Grace Baker, I wrote about this in my book, Culture Jihad, in 2019. People thought I was off my rocker. I tried to tell them.
You could say you were kind of like a prophet.
Verily, verily. Using biblical lingo.
Yes.
All right, there you go. So we're going to be talking to Dr. Paul Chappell. And the question is, does the Bible contain stories? Does it contain content that would be inappropriate for school children? 844-747-8868. Our good friend Dr. Paul Chappell is going to come on and tell us all about that. Let's go to the phone, Central Arkansas. Steve, what's on your mind today, Steve?
Hey, Todd. I love your idea about President Trump being Speaker of the House. And here are my reasons I love it. It would give the American people something they're very, very hungry for, and that's a little bit of sense of justice. To see him get to take the position to set up investigative committees and try to get to the bottom of some of the stuff that was done to him for 4 years. I would love to see that happen. Number two, I think it would be a very strong campaign tool for Republican congressmen that are running for election in 2022 to be able to jump out there and publicly support that they're going to try to talk him into it, and they would definitely vote for him if he would be willing to do it. I think it's a good campaign tool, and it would show the people the Republican Party is serious about going up there this time to fight instead of playing the normal political game where they back into the Congress backwards with their hands sticking out behind them.
Steve, it was Mitch McConnell quoted in the New York Times as saying he wanted to let Democrats handle the SOB, talking about Donald Trump. So it tells me that Mitch McConnell is not going to be a friend to the Republican agenda, which is a conservative agenda. And we're just going to get the same story, different chapter, if he becomes the majority leader in the Senate and McCarthy becomes Speaker of the House.
I agree 100%. I've got another Speaker of the House I'd like to throw out there, and a majority leader in Congress if they get control, and that is Chip Roy of Texas for Speaker of the House, and Ron Johnson of Wisconsin for majority leader.
And those both are, I mean, you know, Chip Roy's a strong guy. I don't know if he's got that much support outside of the Freedom Caucus. But
well, that's one reason I'm for. those have been two guys that have, what you do see of them publicly, they're taking the conservative stance on everything.
Well, I appreciate the New York Times doing a deep dive here. And it's not that the New York Times has seen the light here. They're thinking this is going to hurt the Republicans and this is going to give Trump a black eye. And I don't think it does. I think Trump has been an honest player in all of this. And I'll say this, on the other side, I completely disagree with her take on things. But I think Liz Cheney's been a hell of a lot more honest than Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy have been.
I agree. And to me, Ron Santos in Florida is proven all you need to be is an honest player.
That's it. And you know what? At the end of the day, you may be wrong about something, but by golly, at least you stuck to your principles and you played it through and you saw it through. Steve, got to run. Good hearing from you, and thanks for the call. I want to read from the New York Times piece here talking about Mitch McConnell. Late on the night of January 6th, Mr. McConnell predicted that his party would soon break sharply with Mr. Trump and his acolytes. That's a fancy word for you make America great again, folks. The Republican leader even asked a reporter in the Capitol for information about whether the cabinet might really pursue the 25th Amendment. When that did not materialize, Mr. McConnell's thoughts turned to impeachment. On Monday, January 11th, Mr. McConnell met over lunch in Kentucky with two longtime advisors, Terry Carmack and Scott Jennings. Scott Jennings, by the way, the CNN conservative commentator. Feasting on Chick-fil-A in Mr. Jennings' Louisville office. What a heresy. What a heresy to sully the official chicken of Jesus. Feasting on Chick-fil-A in Mr. Jennings' Louisville office. And by the way, they're from Kentucky. Why aren't they eating KFC? Anyway, it's all about optics. The Senate Republican leader predicted Mr. Trump's imminent political demise. Quote, "The Democrats are going to take care of the son of a bee for us," Mr. McConnell said, referring to the imminent impeachment vote in the House. There you go. Mitch McConnell wants to be the next majority leader. Kevin McCarthy wants to be the Speaker of the House. I say, let's make it Donald Trump. Let's have a little bit of fun. And let's see if Donald Trump can fix that mess, which is the House of Representatives. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. You know, now more than ever, it is important that we support companies like Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. So many of you have already made the switch. Patriot Mobile, they're not going to be supporting Planned Parenthood, but your current wireless carrier is. Patriot Mobile actually donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes we care about. And if you use my promo code Todd, you're going to get free activation and a free gift. All you need to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or give them a call at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Use my promo code Todd. You're going to get a special discount and free premier activation. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Well, our good friend Mike Lindell is back at it again. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. Mike Lindell not only created the best pillow, but now he's created the best towel in the world. That's right. Mike Lindell found the best towel company right here in the USA. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft but actually work. And they're all made with USA cotton. They come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Get this, folks. You're going to get a six-piece set, two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths made with USA cotton, soft yet absorbent. Normally $109.99, now just $39.99. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Just enter the promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 for these great radio specials. That's 800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS. All right, so Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana, the Republican, sort of like the wordsmith of the Senate, this guy. He certainly has a way with words. He was on Jesse Waters' show last night talking about government spending. You know, the Republicans spend at just like drunken Democrats. I've never seen anything like it. And Kennedy was calling out both sides on the issue last night. Here's what he had to say.
I have seen the federal government, for example, give $530,000 to a group called Hookers for Jesus. I have seen the federal government spend $2.1 million for sex education for Ethiopian prostitutes. And I could continue with other examples of spending porn. And every time that Congress allows this to happen, it is as if Congress is taking a great Dane-sized whiz down the leg of every taxpayer in America.
Now, here's what I want to know, Grace Baker. What about American hookers? Why aren't we taking care of American prostitutes?
This is a good question.
Why the Ethiopian prostitutes? Why do they matter?
That's weirdly specific.
Isn't it weird?
Just a little bit.
I want to know. You know what?
I
want to see the flight manifest for Congress.
Well, look, I mean, we've heard rumors about the orgies and the parties, so you never know. Might involve Ethiopians.
There have been those allegations.
Allegations. But it's
Grace
just
Baker.
A thought.
But it does make you wonder, why is it that members of Congress have an affinity for Ethiopian prostitutes?
Good question. I don't know.
I didn't realize that was a big deal. What's interesting, though, Hookers for Jesus is actually a Christian ministry.
No, it's not.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, I'm looking this up now.
They follow me on Twitter.
No.
Yes, they do.
Oh, they're in Nevada.
Nevada.
Come on, Grace.
Wyatt Cox from the Nevada Network's going to. I'm going to get a nasty email now.
I'm sorry.
It's Nevada.
Nevada.
So yeah, so it's a ministry that helps women come out of the sex trafficking industry.
Yes.
It's a weird name, but certainly catchy.
I was going to say it catches your eye.
My question is, why are, and again, I'm going to get emails on this.
Oh no.
I've got a problem with our tax dollars being used to fund ministries. And I just say that because I don't want, for example, my tax money to fund Muslim organizations.
I would rather be in control of my own money to donate who I want.
Exactly. And that's the point. Not use my tax money.
And also, we may start, let's just say the Salvation Army, say the, you know, our government's donating to them. But the next thing you know, they go woke. So you just don't know what's going to happen.
That's right. So and nothing. So, again, they were making fun of this group without actually knowing who they, in fact, were. And so it's a weird name, but they're doing, you know, the Lord's work. I just don't want them to do the Lord's work with my tax money. If I want to support them, I would support them with my own personal money. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, hello people, I hope you're doing well out there. Hour two of the big show underway, and just a friendly reminder that we're on a mission this week. We want to sell 10,000 copies of the new book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. It is a great gift, and if you have a mother or a grandmother, it's a pretty awesome Mother's Day gift. And we're trying to hit the New York Times bestseller list and do the impossible, because when was the last time a biscuit book made the New York Times bestseller list, for crying out loud? So we want you to go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or if you would like a personally inscribed copy of the book, I'll be happy to do that over at our website, toddstearns.com. All right. A few days ago, we were talking about the contentious gubernatorial race in the state of Georgia, and we got some calls and some emails from listeners, and they said, Todd, why haven't you had Candace Taylor on? She's running for governor. And I thought, well, you know what? We're going to look into this. And I'm proud to say that on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now is, in fact, Dr. Candace Taylor. Dr. Taylor, good to have you with us.
I'm so excited. That just made me so happy hearing that your supporters were wanting me on.
Well, they were. And so we reached out, and we're honored to have you on the program today. I know that you're from South Georgia, below the Nat line. I know a little bit about Georgia topography, and you are a longtime public school worker.
Yeah, well, I taught third grade for 2 years. I've been a school counselor most of my career, and I'm an administrator now at the Board of Education, although I'm on an unpaid leave of absence right now running for governor. But I've spent the most of my career fighting for abused children and domestic violence victims. It's been a very rewarding career, and I think that a lot of corruption involves, you know, trafficking kids and abusing kids, and we got a lot of corruption in Atlanta, so I'm going to go up there and fix it the way I fix public education.
I like your slogan, Jesus, Guns, and Babies.
Yeah, I got a lot of pushback on that because I'd like to leave the commas and the and out. It's Jesus, Guns, and Babies, and the left lost their mind and started saying Jesus, Guns, Babies, and sends me memes of Jesus blowing the heads off babies. It's the sickest mess you've ever seen. But I was actually trending on Twitter. I'm like, what the heck is this? And it was just a media whirlwind, and they had memes and parodies made about me and whatever. But you know what? Jesus is first in my slogan because he's first in my life and he's first in my campaign, and Georgia desperately needs him.
Well, no doubt about that, Dr. Taylor. And by the way, folks, we have links to all of her platforms and her website over on our live show blog. Dr. Taylor, I want to get your take on the dust up between Governor Kemp and David Perdue. Why do you think you are the best person for the job, the best person to take on Stacey Abrams?
Well, we're dealing with twin rhinos. They're the same person, the exact same person. One's taller than the other one, but they're both got deals with China. They both got a lot of issues behind them and a lot of doing things for themselves and not for the people of Georgia. I'm one of the people. I'm normal, whatever normal is, right? I have children and a husband, and I work a full-time job, pay taxes, and I'm just sick of not being represented by people like me and sick of them trampling all over the Constitution of Georgia. And so I'm totally different. I'm different than Stacey Abrams, as polar opposite as it gets. She's far, far left in her radical ideology, and I'm far right in conservatism. And so it's going to be interesting. I think you're going to see this. You're going to see a shock of the nation when we make the runoff, and we're going to make the runoff. We're polling higher than Purdue and all the inner polling because he's a weak candidate. He didn't fight for his own seat. And then Governor Kemp, he's given us a Christmas list of constitutional carry and reducing income tax and bonuses for teachers and trying to pander and buy votes. But the bottom line is the 2020 election was stolen in Georgia and no one's been arrested and the people are ticked.
No, I hear that. And I love the fact that you're passionate about the working class. You know, I grew up in a working class home. I think one of the things that President Trump did a very good job of is embracing the notion of the vocational arts and that, you know, there's something noble with being an electrician or a construction worker. And that was certainly frowned upon during the Obama years.
Right. They're the backbone of our country. Small business is the engine behind our country. In Georgia, it's farming and education, an $80 billion industry of farming. And we've had solar panel farms popping up all over the state of Georgia, taking over our beautiful farmland with Chinese solar panels that are causing our land to be feral. We also have in Rivian plant, $2 billion funded by George Soros that Governor Kemp's pushed into northeast Georgia that people don't want it. It's going to ruin their water supply system. We have to get corporate elites out of our state and go back to we the people. And, you know, I have no problem with making a lot of money. I think that's wonderful. That's the American dream. You just can't do it on the back of Georgia.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Dr. Candace Taylor. She is from South Georgia. She's running in the GOP primary. She wants to be the next governor of the state of Georgia. Folks, maybe you have a question. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. 844-747-8868. Dr. Taylor, this may be a slightly unfair question to ask, but I'm curious, what do you think Brian Kemp did that should disqualify him from a second term in office?
He didn't investigate the election in 2020. We've seen video footage. We've watched the tabulator tapes. We've pulled them. We've reviewed them. We've seen the huge discrepancies. Cobb County alone, which is right outside of Fulton County, there were 250,000 votes missing from the night of the election to the 2 weeks later recount. Nothing's been done. No accountability. He didn't call a special session. In fact, he lied and said he couldn't call a special session, pandering to the people. The Constitution is clear about the rights of the governor and the duties and responsibilities he swore to uphold in the Constitution and his oath of office. But yet he hasn't. He says over and over, I'm not a dictator. I couldn't call a special session. But you called one for redistricting. You call one when you need to. You just didn't care about the election being hijacked, which is treason. It is treason to hijack a federal election. And nothing's been done. No accountability. They knew there were problems because they wrote Senate Bill 202, which dealt with only one issue, which was the mass mailing of absentee ballots. But it also mandated drop boxes and all kind of other things that we didn't want. How do you know to make legislation and write it if you didn't investigate and find out what the problem was that needed to be fixed? And that is the whole problem with Brian Kemp, is that he failed to do a special session, investigate what issues we had, and write correct legislation to fix it so it doesn't happen again. And because he failed Georgia, he will never be governor again.
I'm curious about David Perdue. I love how you frame this. We're dealing with twin rhinos, although one is taller than the other. David Perdue, why do you think he lost his reelection bid?
Well, he didn't lose. He won, but he conceded and didn't fight. He clearly won. He was up very, very thousands and thousands of votes when we went to bed at 11 p.m. and they quit counting in Chatham County, which is Savannah, and Fulton County, which is Atlanta. Those two counties quit counting at 11 p.m. so they would resume at 8 a.m. At 4:55 a.m., miraculously, they're done counting. 100% of votes are in, and they lost. So we know that it was totally fraud. We know that. He didn't fight, didn't push, didn't say a word until he decided to run again, or decided to run again for this seat. And what happened was President Trump was so ticked off of Brian Kemp David Perdue even admitted on the debate stage Sunday that he's the one that encouraged President Trump to endorse Brian Kemp. And then he was told, you're going to run now because you delivered Brian Kemp in 2018 and you told me to endorse him. He, you know, didn't do what was right. So now you're going to have to run. David Perdue doesn't want to be the governor of Georgia. He didn't even want to run. He was taught and coerced into it. I love President Trump. He won, but he got it wrong in 2018 and delivered us Brian Kemp. He's got it wrong in 2022, and the people of Georgia do not want David Perdue. He's not going to happen.
I love this. Dr. Taylor, we're going to have to leave it there. I'm very excited to have you on the program. I like how you think, and I'd love to get you back on, and maybe we can do a deep dive into some of the big issues that are facing the state of Georgia, because I do believe that Georgia is going to be a bellwether state for the entire nation.
Georgia is key. We're the gateway state to this whole country. I'm releasing something really big on Monday. I've already released 9 executive orders. I'm going to sign day one. I'm going to release another one on Monday. So y'all tune in, go to CandaceTaylor.com, and y'all be waiting for that executive order to fall. But it affects the whole nation, and Georgia's very important. I would say the governor's race in Georgia is the most important race in our entire nation this election cycle.
I do not disagree with you at all on that. Dr. Candace Taylor, everybody. Dr. Taylor, best of luck to you out there on the campaign trail.
Thank you, Todd. Please pray for me.
All right. Well, there you go, folks. And again, we have an open platform here. I like the way this lady thinks. And just an incredibly brilliant mind, Dr. Candace Taylor. She is a native of South Georgia, and she's been an educator for 19 years. She taught third grade. She's a school counselor and has worked as a homeless liaison. And she says that the governor's budget is 60% education. Who better to clean things up than a public school educator? And I love it. She said that Perdue didn't lose. He conceded. She says we're dealing with twin rhinos. You know who she reminds me of? A much, much younger governor of Alabama, Kay Ivey. Kay Ivey's, she's a spitfire. I like this. All right, before we go to break, I know Patty's been on hold for a while listening to us on WSIC, our great affiliate in North Carolina. Patty, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing, Todd?
I'm doing good. Thank you for asking, Patty.
I believe, before I get to Trump being Speaker of the House, I want to say one thing. I think Kay Ivey, which I totally agree with you, should be the new border czar.
Yeah. I love it. Wow, she'd do a good job.
That commercial, I love it. I play it over and over. I think she is wonderful.
You know what we're going to do, Patty? I'm going to ask the guys to track down that KIV audio, and when we find it, we'll play it, because you're right, it's a great commercial.
It is. It's the best, you know. No way, Jose. Come on now.
No way, Jose.
I mean, this woman is, oh my God. But anyway, I love her. She's great. She should, you know, she could be a better border czar. But anyway, getting to Trump now. Yes. I totally agree with you. Trump should be Speaker of the House. They think people are sweating it out now with Musk taking over Twitter. Could you imagine Trump as Speaker of the House? They would, you talk about meltdown. The Judases would all have a heart attack. I don't call them rhinos no more. They're all Judases.
Patty, I'm with you. And I think that would be more effective than going out and even doing all of these Save America rallies.
Yeah.
All right.
Totally right.
Patty, I'm glad you agree with me, but I do think that Trump could be most effective right now, at this very moment in American history, as Speaker of the House of Representatives. But first, the Republicans got to win it back. They should not have any trouble here, but they've got to stay focused on the prize. Patty, thanks for the call. And I think we actually, all right, let's take a listen to Kay Ivey.
I'm Kay Ivey. If Joe Biden keeps shipping illegal immigrants into our states, we're all going to have to learn Spanish. My message to Biden, no way, Jose. That's why I sent National Guard troops to protect the southern border. And that's why we banned sanctuary cities in Alabama. The left can try to counsel me, I don't care. But here in Alabama, we're going to enforce the law.
All right. You know what? I love Kay Ivey. You know why I love Kay Ivey, Grace Baker? Because she doesn't care.
No.
She doesn't care.
That accent.
That's an accent right there.
You got that right.
That is an Alabama. And I miss that because we have so many Yankees moving into the southern states. Am I allowed to say that word? So many Yankees that they're diluting the southern accent. And I've got a problem with that.
Ooh.
Like, I would have a problem with Southerners moving to Minnesota and diluting that fun little
Minnesota.
Accent. Minnesota. Or Michelle Bachmann. I used to love having her on. I don't have a clue what Michelle Bachmann said whenever she was on the show. I was just enthralled with the accent.
Yeah, I also love Kristi Noem's accent.
Oh, Noem, or what about the Boston people? Chatta. I love that. Or our friends in Maine.
Jim Justice.
Oh, you got to love that. Baby doll. Yeah. You got to love that West. Beautiful. You got to love the West Virginia accent.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Our friends at Maine, WLOB, the Big Lobster.
Love their
lobster.
Accent. Lobster.
The lobster. I love it.
Online.
We you know what? We've got a great country because we have great accents. All right. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. I am curious, you folks in Georgia, what do you think about Candace Taylor? You know, she's not getting a lot of attention nationally, but I like her platform. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, let's get right to the phone lines. 844-747-8868, North Carolina. Keith hanging out with us on WSIC. Hey, Keith, what's going on?
Beautiful day here. I'm trying to put my garden in, but yesterday I managed to get a sunburn. But I'm going to sit here a minute and put on the shirt and go at it again.
Love it. Sounds like you're having a good day, Keith.
Yes, sir, but that's not why I called. A while back, I won one of your daily biscuits in your trivia contest, and I've been reading that. And I'm gonna plug your book for you. I recommend that anybody who hasn't read it, get it and read it. As soon as I finish this one, I'm gonna push it on to somebody else. But in the meanwhile, I'm going to order 10 Friday, 5 to mail to some friends in Arkansas, and 5 to give away around here. A great book. I keep it on my lampstand, and I pick it up and read a page or two of it every day, sometimes two or three times a day. It also makes a good Sunday school lesson.
Wow. Well, Keith, wow, thank you for that. What a great promotional plug for the book. But, you know, we had a lot of fun writing that one. And there's just, you know, look, we live in a great country, and we serve a great God. And there are some really fun things happening, you know, around the nation. And honestly, we need to step back for a second and have a good chuckle or two, I think.
I think so. Can I give you one real quick?
Yeah, sure.
You were talking about North Carolina Congressman Cawthorn yesterday.
Oh, yes.
And his attempt to smuggle the gun aboard the plane.
Yes.
You remember the song, Can You Bake a Cherry Pie, Billy Boy?
Oh, geez, Lou.
Are you ready for this?
I'm not, but go ahead anyway, Keith.
Can I bring my gun aboard, TSA, TSA? Can I bring my gun aboard, TSA? No, you can't bring your gun aboard. You're not above the law. You're a young thing. You should stay home with mother.
I don't think that rhymes, but thank you, Keith.
It wasn't supposed to rhyme. It was just along with the music.
I got
with Terry with Billy Boy. Listen, have a great day.
Keith, thank you. Thank you for buying my books. Grace, I don't know what to say.
I think Keith needs to stick to his gardening day job.
What? No, the man just bought 10 books.
No, I'm talking about the singing.
Oh, the singing.
Just the singing.
Oh, my word. Don't discourage.
No, I just, look.
It was a little pitchy.
A little pitchy.
I couldn't
have done it any better. I'm not saying I would be any better.
By the way, is American, I didn't realize American Idol is still around.
Apparently, just nobody watches it.
Nobody watches.
It's terrible now. Everyone's watching The Masked Singer.
That used to be the big, go Rudy.
Oh, boy.
All right, Keith. Well, maybe Keith could try out for The Masked Singer. There you go. All right, we got to take a break here, folks, and figure things out. That's what we do. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Hope you're doing great wherever you might be across America. And all this week, we are selling biscuit books. We're trying to sell 10,000 copies of the book this week, and I think we're going to be able to hit that goal. And we want you to go to our website, toddstearns.com. You can order from our store, and I will personally inscribe every one. And you know, Grace, a lot of people make fun of me because they say there's no way Stern signs all of his books, but it's true, I do. It takes a lot of time, but, you know, that we take pride in doing that.
Yes, I make sure to watch every single one so there's an eyewitness.
You do, and when we're out at events like this coming Saturday at the Culture Engagement Summit, we will stay till the last person in line gets their book signed.
That's true.
And the way I figured, you know, if you're going to spend money to buy a copy of my book, the least I can do is sit there and say hello, shake your hand, give you a hug, and sign your book.
Exactly.
Oh, my favorite book signing, though. I know I'm not supposed to have favorites.
Ooh, be careful.
I know. But it was Gainesville, Georgia.
Okay.
WDUN, our great affiliate there, hosted this thing. And it was at the Smokehouse Barbecue Joint. And Grace, a lady showed up with a plate of homemade biscuits and a 5-pound slab of butter.
Well, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
Tell you what, I about came unglued there. I know I clogged an artery or two. Oh, by the way, speaking of the Culture Engagement Summit, we want to do something nice for our Memphis listeners. So if you're listening in the Memphis area to KWAM, our flagship station, we do have some VIP tickets. And these VIP tickets, you're going to be able to have some one-on-one time with the keynote speakers, Mark Meadows, Marsha Blackburn, Robert Jefferson, yours truly. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to give away a pair of VIP tickets to the Culture Engagement Summit. It's this Saturday in Memphis, Tennessee. And if you would like a pair of those tickets, we're just going to say the first caller at 844-747-8868 gets a pair of VIP tickets. That's 844-747-8868. All right. There is a weird story, and I'm curious to get your take on this. There was a guy at Dollar Tree in Bremen, Indiana, and this guy was a manager of the Dollar Tree store, and he got in trouble because he posted a sign on his store about Generation Z workers. This is from the Washington Examiner. The former manager of a Bremen, Indiana Dollar Tree under fire after posting a help wanted sign that attacked Generation Z workers for not knowing what work actually means. The ex-manager posted the now removed sign after the store was forced to shut its doors due to understaffing. Quote, "I apologize for us closing again. My two new cashiers quit because I said their boyfriends couldn't stand here for their entire shift. Don't hire Gen Zers. They don't know what work actually means. Now hiring baby boomers only. Thanks."
That's a little harsh.
I love it. But he's got to put, now, so here's the question, because I've heard this complaint a lot, that millennials and Generation Zers do not have a strong work ethic. And I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, as we move forward into this conversation, Do you buy into that argument? Has it been your experience that Generation Z and millennials do not understand what it means to put in a hard day's work? Quote, "You're going to get people from every group who are lazy and work hard. I'm sure when baby boomers were young, they were probably called lazy. And it just keeps going from generation to generation," one customer said. The signs posting was the result of two employees who quit. Quote, people just need to be kind and understand other people's situations. You don't always know what's going on in somebody else's life. It's not all about you. Be compassionate. Employee discrimination based on the grounds of race, sex, sexual orientation, disability, religion, color, and veteran status is illegal under federal law. But, Grace, we hire a lot of millennials and Generation Zers here at Stearns Media Group.
Pretty young crew.
Everybody's hard working around here.
That's what I think.
But I will say, the guy does have a point. I mean, if you've got two female employees, and in this case, there were two female employees, and they've got their boyfriends hanging out with them at the cashier stand, that's inappropriate.
Oh, that's weird. I've never heard of anyone trying to do that before.
But I know it's been hard. You know, you've got a lot of, especially for the millennials, it's all about the title. They don't care what you, they don't care about pay. They don't care about anything else. All they want, what's my title?
Wow.
And I remember that from about 10 years ago. That was a huge thing.
Interesting. Interesting.
But I have noticed, and this is not the case now where we actually have a great hardworking team. But there have been instances where I've hired millennials or worked with millennials, and they're just lazy as the day is long.
Mm, that's fair. I mean, I think that there's, especially right now, it just feels like, you know, a lot of places are closing early because they don't have enough workers. And I'm like, what are these people doing? I'm like, there's so, you know, people are like, I don't have a job. Well, there's plenty of jobs available.
That, now, this is true, and I've noticed this around, especially in the restaurant world, where yes, you're waiting, you know, 2 and 3 hours for a table, and it's not because they're packed. It's because they don't have enough waiters or waitresses.
And honestly, I've seen a lot of places say, oh, we're now closed on Mondays. We're now closed on Tuesdays, just because they don't have enough staff, and they need to give them a break.
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable. And that is, and that's especially, it's especially true in the restaurant industry, also in retail. We were at we went to the Apple store just a couple of days ago in Germantown, Tennessee, and it's you're waiting for almost an hour to get help
because there's just not enough people.
There's not enough people, and so to your point, and my question would be, where are these people? They used to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Now they don't work. So how are they living? How do they pay their rent?
That's why I don't understand. I mean, they can't still be living off stimulus checks, can they?
Well, they're living off mommy and daddy. Mm. There was a survey I saw yesterday that a frightening number of millennials now live at home with mom and dad.
Wow.
And it seems to me mom and dad, I mean, I guess there are legitimate reasons for you to have your child living at home. But if you're 35, 40 years old and you're still living at home, is that healthy? I mean, by and large, if your kid just doesn't want to go work, don't you have an obligation to kick him out of the nest?
Give him a little, nice little tough dose of tough love.
You would think so. But I don't know. I mean, maybe this is a new thing. You know, back in the, was it the great TV show in the 70s, The Waltons? You know, that was set during the Great Depression, that TV series. Mm-hmm. And everybody lived together. Mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, sure, all the kids.
Well, and the thing is, you know, we sit here and say, like that sign said, oh, I don't want to hire Gen Z people. You know, oh, I don't want to hire millennials. It's like, well, who raised them? The boomers.
The boomers.
So this started. So it's
No. Well, not the boomers necessarily. This is Generation X or Gen Xers.
Okay.
So my people.
Millennials, though, were raised by the boomers.
Oh, yeah.
The millennials boomers, that are living with
that's
the parents.
True.
So it's just, I don't know.
So they did a crappy job of raising their kids.
Exactly. I'm not saying it's all on the parents, but you can't help but wonder when you see a trend, well, what are the boomers doing?
By and large, if I see a worker and they just don't want to work and they've had this sense of entitlement, that tells me the parent tried to be that child's friend instead of that child's parent.
Fair enough.
When I was old enough to get a summer job, like mowing grass or what, and I was just a kid, that's what I did because, yep, mom, dad didn't want me just laying around the house.
Same here.
You got to get out and get a job.
I feel like my parents were my parents until I moved out and got married, and now they're more so my friends, but it's different now because I'm not under their, under their roof anymore.
Yeah, I'm curious. Yeah, and so I think you may be onto something. Maybe a lot of this is, in fact, parenting. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Coming up, our good friend, Dr. Paul Chappell, is going to drop by, and he's going to weigh in on this big controversy that's brewing in Florida, where you've got an atheist now demanding that upwards of 60 school districts ban the Holy Bible. He says the Bible has inappropriate material, and it's got to come out of the public schools. Again, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phones. Memphis, Tennessee. James on the line. Hey, James, congratulations. You're picking up a pair of VIP tickets.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited about going. Been wanting to see Mark Meadows for years. I'm glad to see you. And I also got my tickets to see Trump, but I'm glad I got on the phone because I was wondering, are you going to be there doing a speech when Trump plays?
Well, this is not the Save America rally, which is what
right.
I normally do with Trump. So,
right.
so right now, we don't know the answer to that.
Okay. Well, I mean, I know this is a separate one. It's got Marsha Blackburn and you and Mark Meadows. But I've also got tickets to the Trump, and I was hoping, since it's so close and you're here, and you have spoken at his rallies before, I was hoping possibly you might get a place to... I can see you there, too, when I go.
Sure.
I just
well,
don't know if you're going to play that one off.
But again, that's it. So that is not a Trump rally. It's a private organization that's inviting
right.
Trump to come. So that's different than the rallies we normally do. But James, hang tight because we're going to get your info and we're going to get you those VIP tickets. So just hang tight and Grace Baker will pick up on the line here momentarily. Let's go to Bill in Cordova, Tennessee on KWAM. Hey, Bill, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. Good to be on the show again. It's always nice. How are you guys?
Doing well. Thanks. We don't have a lot of time, Bill. Sorry about that.
Okay. No, that's okay. I just wanted to point out, you were talking about the millennials and everybody living at home. You know, Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, lived at home until he was 40. Never worked a job, never had a job in his life until he ran for Senate.
Well, he was mayor.
How he got elected and what he did, I don't know.
No,
that,
well,
that I forgot about. You're right about that.
Yeah, he ran for mayor, but you're right. He had no job in the private sector. He not even working as a fry cook at McDonald's.
Exactly. Lived at home till he was 40, and you see how he is and what his policies and principles are, and it's scary.
No, it really is. But I'm telling you, Bill, this sense of entitlement, and this is especially true, I've seen this more so among millennials than Gen Z. That is a frightening thing because eventually, you know, the older generations are supposed to, you know, the younger are supposed to take care of the older. That's not the way it's working nowadays.
No, it's not. And we're going to have a real problem in not too many years if we don't turn some things around, and that's got to be one of them.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Bill. Absolutely right. Bill, appreciate the call. Curious to talk to Dan, who's listening to us on WLOB. Now, Dan, I understand you're a Gen Z truck driver.
I am. Hey, Todd. Thanks for letting me come on. Yes, I'm a Gen Z truck driver, and I agree with what Grace said earlier about how your parents kind of become your friends after you move out a little bit, because I know I definitely had some issues with my dad when I was growing up, but now since, you know, I'm out on my own making something of myself in the world, we're definitely doing good and reconnecting.
Well, Dan, I'm glad to hear that because it's important to maintain those relationships, you know, with your parents. And especially as you get older, you're going to really appreciate that friendship. And that's really when parents become friends, is after you've grown up, you've been raised, and then your relationship changes a little bit as you get older.
Exactly. And, you know, he definitely did teach me a lot about how to become a young man, and I believe that I'm out here making something of myself when I do know a lot of people, especially from where I grew up, because I grew up in kind of a rich you know, neighborhood, and you know, we didn't really have a lot of money, but it makes me feel better about myself to know that I'm doing it on my own rather than getting handed things.
Dan, good for you. Now, Dan, how old are you?
I'm 18.
Wow, 18 years old, and you're already driving. So what kind of a truck do you drive?
I drive a 2018 Mack dump truck. I move equipment. I haul dirt for a small excavation company in North Yarmouth, Maine.
Love it. You having a good time, Dan?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a third-generation truck driver. My grandfather has a Mack dump truck. My dad drove mail for my uncle with a tractor-trailer, and now I'm out here doing my thing.
Man, good for you, Dan, and what a great example that that you're making for all these other Gen Zers out there. And you be safe, as they say, keep it between the ditches as you're out there driving. So be safe.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, God bless. That's Dan from Maine, 18 years old, Gen Zer driving a truck. Let's go to Andrew, Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN. All right, Andrew, what's on your mind?
I'm doing good, Todd. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for asking.
I remember I heard y'all talking earlier about, you know, you said it seems like every generation says the same thing. Oh, the previous generation doesn't, or the next generation doesn't know what work is, doesn't know what work is. I think a lot of that may be tied to inflation. I'm a Gen Zer, I guess. I was born in 98. I'm a fifth generation plumber in my family. And, you know, I've always thought I've had a good work ethic, but a lot of people that are older than me, I'll go to get some jobs, you know, from older employers, and they don't want to pay. It seems like they don't want to pay what the work is worth now because they're still stuck in their mindset of what the work used to be worth. That makes sense. And
No, I think I understand where you're going with that, and that there could be something to that. You know, and the reality, though, in some businesses, what you're going to pay is what you're going to pay, and you know, it's. But it seems to me that being a plumber, you're making some pretty good money there. I mean, that's a great trade.
Yeah, it's a good trade to be in, and I know in the state of Georgia, they said last year over 600 people lost their license, and only about 150 people went to go get their license.
Is that right? Now, Andrew, how old are you, Andrew?
I'm 23.
23 years old. I think, sir. Andrew, though, I will say this, and there is a noticeable difference between Gen Z and millennials. And I don't know what happened, but go ahead, Andrew.
No, I would agree with that completely. There, it seems like there is a big difference. Most of my friends are in, you know, concrete trades, all sorts of different real hardworking jobs, and they kind of saw the amount of debt and stuff that the millennials were getting into with college. And it seems like a lot more of the Gen Zers are going into trade. So I'd say Gen Z are definitely have a better work ethic than the millennials. For sure.
I think you're spot on accurate, Andrew. And I believe that's why Gen Zers are going more so into the trades and maybe not going to college, because they saw what happened. All these Obama kids, millennials, were told, if you don't go to college, then there's something wrong with you. And now they're saddled with tens of thousands of dollars in debt, no jobs, many of them having to live at home. And I think a lot of Gen Zers saw their older siblings going through all of that and said, yeah, that's not for me. Andrew, God bless you. Appreciate the call. I'm sorry, we've got... No, we're running up against a hard break here, so I appreciate it. And I'm sorry that we couldn't keep you on, but we've got to take a break here. All right, folks, we've got a busy third hour of the show coming up. Ralph Reed's going to be here, Congressman Ralph Norman. It's the Ralph Hour, I guess. Well, we're not going to Ralph, but it's the Ralph Hour. So, all right, well, you know what I'm talking about. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Who are you? I'm you, from the future. What do you want? I want to tell you about Dave. Dave has your future money. Spend it on whatever you need. With extra cash from Dave, you can get up to $500 instantly with no interest and no credit check. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve. Member FDIC.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Big Show. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. A lot going on. We have a very, very busy hour. Our good friend Ralph Reed's going to be here in just a little while. Also, Kristen Hawkins from Students for Life is going to drop by with a breaking news story. But first, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us our good friend from South Carolina, Congressman Ralph Norman. Congressman, welcome back.
Glad to be with you, Todd.
Congressman, I want to start out by asking you about these audio tapes from Kevin McCarthy. Based on what we now know, he was saying one thing in private, another thing in public. Do you believe that he has disqualified himself from any leadership role within the party?
You know, no, not that, not words, Todd, to be honest with you. The media is trying to keep the January 6th commission front and center stage when basically the country is in a free fall with, you know, inflation, with the border crisis, with the burning towns. And here's what will disqualify Kevin McCarthy in my mind and a lot of other people. This country is in dire need of leadership. There's no more powerful position than the Speaker of the House. They set the agenda. They set what we vote on, what we don't vote on. The simplest way I can describe it, we need a Ron DeSantis type speaker. And there are a growing number of us that are going to ask if to get a list of priorities for the next speaker, whoever that is. If it's Kevin, we start off with, are we going to get serious about the budget? I don't know of too many businesses, families, countries that can exist by going broke. You cannot keep this type spending up. Secondly, are you going to secure the border? We got a briefing last night, Todd, and it will scare, and we got it from Mark Morgan, who used to head the active in the Border Patrol and trying to think of the other guys. Oh, Tom Homan, who was head of ICE. And it is scary what's going on in this country with illegal immigration, with, you know, the drugs and the terrorists coming in here. It's to the tune of 5 football stadiums that hold 79,000 people a day, 5 of those. Over 500,000. And so even these two people who were very, you know, concerned and knew the ins and outs of the immigration crisis were scared. And thirdly, are we going to have a priority on cybersecurity and on security in general? Because China is eating our lunch, and it's just priorities, but it's the budget. It's the border wall, and it's cybersecurity, and because economic security is national security. So that's what will qualify or disqualify, in my mind, any future speaker. And, you know, I think we're willing to just say, really, if you're not going to do this, if we're going to have another Paul Ryan, we're out. We're going to fight, and we're going to find somebody, at least put somebody up that – and we may get beat. We may not have the votes, but that's okay. We will forego any committee assignments. We will forego anything that they have to offer to get a speaker who is a Ron DeSantis type speaker.
I'm, you know, again, Congressman, I've been listening to the tapes, and I just don't trust Kevin McCarthy. I know you guys work with him, but from my vantage point here, I don't trust him to represent the conservative agenda and, more importantly, fight for the conservative agenda if, in fact, he becomes Speaker of the House.
Well, if he doesn't fight for the agenda I just mentioned as a starter with priorities, then you know, we'll part ways and we'll do what we can. We just cannot afford another administration led by a speaker who's milquetoast and who really doesn't have core values, I guess is the best way for me to describe it. And he did not under Paul Ryan because they were a pair. Now, granted, he wasn't speaker, but he was majority leader, and he was in a position of power. But we'll give Kevin the benefit of the doubt. This is, you know, something he's, you know, worked for. He's raised a lot of money for, you know, conservatives. He's raised a lot of money for the party. He's done some good things. But we're at the point now, we can't, you know, we're at the end of the runway when it comes to getting this country back on track. This administration, under Pelosi and the Biden administration, has done more damage to America, violated the Constitution in every way possible, that it's going to take, to get it back right, it's going to take a real fight. And I think we can do it. The hope is there. I think people have courage. But it's going to have to be led by a speaker that has the same courage that so many of our Freedom Caucus members have.
I still like the idea of Donald Trump coming in as Speaker of the House, Congressman. I think that would shake up a lot of things.
Well, I think Donald Trump's got his, a lot of people have been to him and have said that. And for your listeners, you do not have to be a sitting member of Congress. You can have anybody outside of Congress. Now, the flip side, we got to get 218 votes. We got 435 members, so we got to get 218 votes. And so this is going to be a top, in my mind, it's the top priority. We've got to sell whoever it is and hold accountable whoever takes that office. It's the most powerful position in government today, and I would say that with the stakes that are so high, it's got to be somebody that is willing to fight and willing to I think we're going to have a big majority, so I think we're going to have the votes, but you got to have somebody willing to do things that are real, not just do surface items. The country has cancer. Bayer aspirin's not going to cure it.
All right. Well said. Congressman, we've got to leave it there. Appreciate you coming on the program today. Thanks for being a staunch conservative up on Capitol Hill.
Well, it's an honor to do it, and thank you for what you're doing.
All right. Congressman Ralph Norman from South Carolina. By the way, new polling data out. Biden's net approval rating underwater in 40 states. The president made up no ground in states that'll be key battleground states for Democrats in 2022 and 2024. His approval rating fell by 38 points among independents in Michigan, along with 33-point declines. This is historic numbers. Along with 33-point declines with Democrats in Georgia and Minnesota, more than half of Democrat voters strongly approved of Biden's performance in just one state, Wyoming, Liz Cheney country. Unbelievable. It is not looking good. And to the congressman's point, they're going to take control of the House. It's just a matter of how much. And I still think that Donald Trump could be the play, the unexpected play. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to direct you folks over to our good friends over at MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com/stards. Our good friend Mike Lindell has some incredible offers for our listeners. And by the way, no matter what you buy, you're going to get incredible discounts on literally everything over at MyPillow.com. But beyond that, Mike is going to send you a free copy of his brand new book as a way of saying thank you for supporting MyPillow.com. So again, MyPillow.com/Starnes. You're going to get great discounts on all of his products, from the pillows to the mattress toppers to those incredible Giza sheets. And no matter what you buy, Mike is going to send you, as a listener of the Todd Starnes radio program, a free copy of his new book. We'll be right back, America.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
right, folks. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend from Students for Life, Kristen Hawkins, joins us. Kristen, it's been a while, and I hear that you guys are caught up in, once again, these censorship and these attacks on conservative pro-lifers.
Hi, Todd. It's good to hear your voice again. But yes, that's why we're talking today. Exactly.
All right. I want you to tell our listeners what happened.
Sure. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was at the University of Texas, San Antonio, on my spring speaking tour, Why We Don't Need Abortion. And, you know, we filmed some video footage of students asking me questions. We allow students asking questions, any question they want, and my responses. And we put those videos up online. They've sort of gone viral. I knew they were going far and wide when my, you know, family members were texting me. I'm like, I think I saw you on some video. And so these videos are on YouTube and Facebook of me engaging with these pro-abortion protesters. We put them up on Students Life's TikTok account. Within a couple of days, our TikTok account has been permanently suspended or shut down. We have no way to get into the TikTok account to open it up. And these are simple videos. These are pro-abortion students yelling at me, asking me questions, and me simply responded. There's no images of children who've been aborted, nothing like that at all. Just simply a complete and utter takedown of the illogic position that the pro-abortion movement must take every single day when justifying the violence of abortion.
You know, here's what gets me about all of this, Kristen. I've been on TikTok. I see the TikTok videos, and there's some pretty nasty stuff. I mean, it's pretty terrible stuff. That's okay. Mm-hmm. But you're telling me that they're censoring pro-life speech.
Absolutely. You know, and that's, to be honest with you, Todd, I've told our team, you know, stay back off of TikTok, you know, put our videos on Instagram to try to reach this generation. But we do engage a little bit in TikTok. And the reason for putting content on TikTok is we want to reach those who are being targeted by the abortion industry, high schoolers and middle schoolers who are on this application. Now, I wouldn't want my children on it, but many children are on these this platform. And you're right. The content on TikTok is absolutely horrifying. As a parent, as any, you know, a good American would look at some of this content, you would just be shocked by it. So these videos that we posted, that others have taken and put on of me on TikTok, are not violent. They're not graphic. They're not raunchy. They're simply just talking about science. And it's me explaining the biology of a human, the development of a human being. And it's so fascinating that they allow this trash on TikTok's network, but yet science, biology, and reason, they get thrown out the window and they get censored.
Yeah, that's what gets me. I mean, Kristen, let me just throw this out there. Have you guys been petitioning TikTok to have anybody banned on TikTok?
No. No, absolutely not.
No, of course not. And why would you? Because, again, if people want to put raunchy, nasty stuff, that's their business. I don't have to watch it. I don't have to support it. I don't have to endorse it. But I'm not going out there and actively having people banned from TikTok or Twitter. But on the other side of the equation, there are people out there trying to shut down conservatives.
That's absolutely right. In fact, and I don't even think we've released this footage yet from this speech at University of San Antonio. There was a young girl who came up who made that argument, what you just made. This is the liberal pro-abortion argument, that because I'm pro-life, because I'm saying something that's hard for others to hear, it should be banned. And that I shouldn't have the same First Amendment rights to speech as others do. I mean, this was literally the argument that the pro-abortion protesters presented to me at their university, you know, upset with the school that I was even allowed to walk onto this taxpayer-funded campus and talk about basic science. And this is exactly what's happened with TikTok, with our video, and now our entire account getting suspended, getting shut down. This is why we as conservatives, I'm so careful with everything that we do at Students for Life, not to put all of the eggs in the social media basket. When you're talking about how do we get information out, how do we organize young people across the country? Because at any moment,
these companies can shut us down. Whenever we say something that they don't like or that they think is dangerous, like the truth, they can shut you down. And that's why I'm so careful that, you know, I'm upset that TikTok would do something so vile as taking down an account with basic science. But we're not going to stop. And it's not going to stop our mission at Students for Life of reaching those who are most targeted by the abortion industry with the truth.
Well, good for you, Kristen. And we've got to leave it there. Folks, we'll have the story up on our website later this afternoon. But TikTok banning Students for Life, a pro-life organization for young people here in America, they've been banned. Kristen, thank you so much. And we're going to work hard to make sure you guys are able to get back on TikTok.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate all your help.
All right. Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I'm talking about. Same thing's been happening on Twitter, which is why Elon Musk bought Twitter. Now, the reality here is that you have a bunch of people working at Twitter, and my recommendation is he ought to fire everybody. Just make everybody reapply but fire everybody and clean out the woke infestation of people who hate free speech and the First Amendment. Get rid of those people. But the reality is you've got a lot of those people working at TikTok and Facebook, working at Google, YouTube, Instagram, the whole nine yards. And they do believe that you can have pornography. And if you haven't been on Twitter, there is flat out pornography, filthy pornography, full frontal, you name it, it's there. That's okay. But by golly, you can't have a conservative sharing a conservative viewpoint or exposing Hunter Biden for the drug-addled pervert that he is and criminal, alleged. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our website, toddstarnes.com. And folks, I would encourage you all this week, we are promoting our daily biscuit book, and we want to sell 10,000 copies, and we need your help to do that. And you can get yourself a copy right now on toddstarnes.com at our store. You know, emergencies happen anytime, folks. No power, no lights. That means no news. Federal agencies are urging every family to have an emergency radio. And Newsmax, which, by the way, publishes Newsmax magazine, has a great offer. Newsmax magazine features Dick Morris, Bill O'Reilly, Dr. Laura, all sorts of incredible writers. And they want you to get the World Band Emergency Radio free with a Newsmax magazine subscription. This powerful radio works during any emergency, doesn't need batteries, has a hand crank, super LED flashlight, also includes the NOAA weather band, long-range AM receiver, the FM band, and even a USB. All you need to do is go to gettheradio.com, that's gettheradio.com, or call toll-free 1-800-NEWSMAX, that's 1-800-NEWSMAX. I'm telling you, folks, that free radio could very well save your life. We'll be right back, America. Folks, Saturday, April 30th, Big Culture Engagement Summit in Memphis, Tennessee at Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. Mark Meadows, Robert Jeffress, Senator Marsha Blackburn, Ryan Helfenbein, and yours truly among the speakers at this event. And we are giving away some VIP tickets to our listeners in Memphis at our flagship station, KWAM. Let's go to the phones. Memphis, Tennessee, Dale listening to us on KWAM. Dale, congratulations. We're going to send you and a guest to the weekend conference.
Thank you so much. I do wish you would bring up something about a constitutional convention involving term limits and budgeting.
Dale, there's a lot of folks that are going to be speaking at this thing, so I have no doubt that somebody will probably bring that up. Dale, we're going to put you on hold. Hang tight. Grace Baker is going to get your information. And we hope to see all of you at the Big Culture Engagement Summit this weekend in Memphis, Tennessee. We have more information on our website, toddstarns.com. Well, I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We have a terrific guest, a great American patriot, our good friend, the founder, chairman of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, Ralph Reed. Ralph, it's been a while. Hope you're doing good.
I'm doing great, Todd. Congratulations on the great success of the show. I know you're picking up stations virtually every day. We're really proud of you. Honored to be on the same team with you.
Well, you're kind to say that, Ralph. And I brag about you guys all the time and the incredible work that you guys are doing there at the Faith and Freedom Coalition. I mean, this really is the grassroots effort that is really changing the face of politics in America.
You know, there's no question about it, Todd. I mean, as you know, I was really blessed to have a pretty incredible run at the Christian Coalition in the 1990s. I never thought I'd see a lean, mean machine as effective as that again, but Faith and Freedom Coalition far exceeds it. We're now up to 2.4 million members, donors, and activists in all 50 states. We have full-time staff in 14 states. We're gonna actually be knocking on the doors of 14 million evangelical voters in the 2022 midterm election, meeting them at the door, mailing them, phoning them, texting them, emailing them, putting voter guides in over 117,000 churches. We will directly contact 42 million evangelical voters, and it's going to be the biggest turnout of voters of faith in a midterm election in either your or my lifetime.
That's phenomenal, and that's what needs to happen. And if we can get those people out, we're going to win the day, Ralph. I'm curious, what are you hearing? And, I mean, you guys have all the data on this. What are the big issues that are going to be driving people to go and vote on Election Day?
Well, you know, it goes back to that famous sign hanging in the Clinton campaign headquarters in Little Rock, Arkansas in 1992. It's the economy, stupid. It almost every time is, Todd. The only exception to that, by the way, in my career was in 2004 when the war on terror was going on and national security and terrorism was the number one issue. But other than that, it's always the economy. And that is not good news for Joe Biden and the Democrats. You've got inflation. You've got energy prices. Every time people go to the gas pump, they're reminded of these disastrous policies. Wages are not keeping up with inflation. So that's a big issue. The humanitarian crisis at the southern border, the human trafficking, the tremendous exploitation of women and children that is being caused by this. And I would say, finally, honestly, the values. I mean, you saw the way parental rights became a huge factor in Glenn Youngkin's victory in Virginia. I think you're going to see more of that. And people like Ron DeSantis and Kristi Noem and others who have stood up for parents, stood up for school choice, and stood up to woke corporations like Disney are going to be richly rewarded at the ballot box in November.
No, I'm thoroughly impressed with the moms and dads in the Commonwealth of Virginia. I mean, they really took what you guys have been out there preaching and teaching out on the campaign trail, is getting involved on the local level. And Ralph, they did that. They followed your advice, the advice of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, and they won the day.
Well, they really did. I mean, it the flashpoint, as you probably know, Todd, I'm sure you reported on it, was in Loudoun County, Virginia, which is sort of a suburb or exurb of Washington, D.C. It's been trending away from us, becoming more moderate, becoming more purple, used to be a reliably Republican county. And what happened was they were promulgating a curriculum in Loudoun County that basically said that teachers were going to have to, teach an extreme ideological gender identity curriculum. They were going to have to use the personal pronoun that a student indicated they wanted to be called by, not as they were biologically born, but how they wanted to be. and that if a boy identified as a girl, he could use the girl's restroom, and then they suppressed and lied about a sexual assault that occurred by one of these biological males in a girl's restroom, and it blew up in their face. Glenn Youngkin took their side. You may remember that Terry McAuliffe, in one of the greatest gaffes in American political history, said parents shouldn't have a say in what their children are learning, and the rest is history. And I believe it's an organic parental rights movement that is sweeping the country like wildfire.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend Ralph Reed from the Faith and Freedom Coalition. Ralph, when you look at the Republican Party, it looks as though these wins are going to be at near historic levels. I mean, there's a morning consult poll I was looking at just earlier today. What Biden's net approval rating underwater in 40 states. He's made up no ground in any of the states that are going to be battleground states. So let's just assume here that the Republicans do take back the House and the Senate. What is it that the Republicans need to be focused on doing?
Well, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, and I certainly agree with you that that is which way the wind is blowing. But there's only one way to run, and that's scared and like you're behind. But you're certainly right, Todd, that Joe Biden is an anvil hanging around the neck of the Democratic Party. In my home state of Georgia, which has one of the number one targeted U.S. Senate races in the nation, one of the number one targeted governor's races in the nation, and probably two of the top 20 congressional races in the country, Joe Biden's job approval today in Georgia is 37%.
Wow.
And that is not Oklahoma or South Carolina or even Texas. That is a battleground state. So that means, Todd, that if you're a Democrat running statewide or for Congress in America today, you're going to have to run 10 to 13 points ahead of Joe Biden to win. So I think it's going to be a very good year. But again, I want to caution and counsel everybody. Ignore the polls. Ignore them when you're behind and ignore them when you're ahead. Go out and work like your whole lives and the nation's future depends on it. But should we get fortunate enough to gain control of both chambers, I think what we've got to do is we've got to rein in spending. We've got to stop this out-of-control, profligate, inflationary-causing spending. And I think we need to rebuild America's military to even stronger than it was before the Russians invaded Ukraine. And I think we need to stand up for values, for life, for family, for parents, and for children. And I'll give you one issue that I think we ought to fight on. Biden is trying to gut and get rid of and ultimately eliminate the D.C. Opportunity Scholarship Program, which allows thousands of minority children to go to the school of their choice where they can learn and be safe and have a bright future. We should fight for those kids and expand that program and then do things that can encourage programs like that all over the country. I think that would be an important part of the agenda.
Ralph, we have a very active audience all over the country, and I know they're going to want to get involved. And what are some ways they can do that? How can they get involved with what's happening at the Faith and Freedom Coalition?
Well, they can go to our website, which is FF, as in Faith and Freedom, ffcoalition.com. Sign up, become involved, become a volunteer. They can contact a local campaign, either statewide, Congress, state legislature, or school board. Get involved that way. And finally, I don't want to step on your promo for the Memphis conference. It sounds amazing. But when they go on that website, they can also check out Road to Majority, which is our June policy conference in Nashville. We have an amazing lineup of speakers, including, by the way, you, Todd. You're going to be there. And it's going to be the largest civic gathering of people of faith this year. We're expecting upwards of 4,000 people. Fox Nation is going to stream it live. And if people can, if their schedule permits, go to Memphis, but then also plan on going to Nashville in June. I promise you it will change your life and the life of our nation.
You know, I've been to several of these, and they're just incredible. And the information you're going to get, it's information overload, but it's great, great stuff. And that's exciting to hear, over 4,000 people. Ralph, we're looking forward to being there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll keep promoting it, and I think you'll have a big delegation of folks from the Memphis, Tennessee area driving up Interstate 40.
I can't wait. We're looking forward to having you again, And, you know, obviously some of these folks we can't quite announce yet because of Secret Service and other issues. But I can tell you that our past speakers include people like Donald Trump and yep. Mike Pence and Nikki Haley and Mike Pompeo and Ted Cruz and Dinesh D'Souza and Jeanine Pirro and Kayleigh McEnany. I could just go on and on and on. You don't want to miss it.
And by the way, I should have mentioned this when we intro'd you, but President Trump gave you a huge shout out from the podium during the big Georgia rally in Commerce, Georgia. Was it month before last?
Yeah, he sure did. I was there with Herschel Walker, who I am in my personal capacity strongly supporting for U.S. Senate. Got a chance to see the president beforehand. I was honored to have him mention me from the podium. But even more honored, to be honest with you, to have been part of his team to help advance the kind of pro-life, pro-family, pro-religious freedom, pro-Israel, pro-small business, and pro-family policies that he advanced as president, and I believe candidates like Herschel are going to advance once they get to the U.S. Senate.
All right, Ralph Reed, everybody. He is founder and chairman of the Faith and Freedom Coalition. We've got direct links to their website over on our live show blog. Ralph, look forward to seeing you in Nashville.
See you then. Thank you, Todd, for all you do.
All right. Folks, we've got to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. From the New York Post, a man called off his wedding because his fiance almost killed his dog. I'm not making it up. That's what the headline says. A man explained that he dumped his fiance before their wedding after finding out she nearly killed his pooch. The fella, 28, they don't name names here, but the guy's 28 years old. The fiance, 27, she apparently allowed the 7-year-old dog to eat chocolates and drink booze. Now, Grace, I'm not a dog owner, but even I know that's not a good idea.
That's terrible.
So they were engaged. I guess they were in a relationship for 4 years.
Yes.
And he said, nope, that's it.
Well, as I understood it, she threw a bachelorette party at his place, right? And he said, hey, just put the dog up, you know, out of harm's way while y'all party. Well, she didn't do that. And then that's how the dog got into chocolate and booze, because, of course, there's chocolate and booze at a bachelorette party.
The girls apparently thought it would be cool to leave everything out on short coffee tables, leave the dog to wander around instead of putting him in the bedroom. Then the dog got wasted. Is it the dog that got wasted or the women?
Probably both.
Oh, it was. So the girls got wasted, the fiance got wasted, and did not notice that the dog was left with the booze and the chocolates.
That's terrible.
The man was furious that she did not follow his instructions to keep the dog away from the party.
I would be too.
When I got home, I told my fiance to pack and get out of my house and my life.
That had to have been like the straw that broke the camel's back, though. There had to have been a few other things.
2 hours later, he was bombarded by messages on Messenger and WhatsApp. What is WhatsApp? I've never heard of that. Does anybody use that?
Yeah, people use it, I guess, who don't have like cell service and that you can use it on Wi-Fi. It's just a messaging app.
I see. They said I'm insane to do this to her after 4 years. You see, I don't know about that. I mean, it seems to me that she would be mindful of the dog.
That dog better be like family at that point. That's what I'm saying. That would be a huge red flag.
I think you would have been the same way if this had been Merlot.
Yeah.
There would not be a Mr. Producer.
No.
There's always another Mr. Producer out there, but never another Merlot.
I mean, also, if they're that irresponsible with a dog, can you imagine a child? Jeez Louise.
One person said, it's not about the dog. It's about the blatant disregard for the safety of the animal.
Exactly. I'm saying if she doesn't, if she's that reckless.
See, or it could be that she did not follow the directions of her soon-to-be husband. Woman, I told you, don't let the dog eat the Hershey's.
Well, no, or drink booze.
Another person said part of loving someone is caring about something they care about because they care about it. What?
Okay, that's terribly put, but I get what he's saying. I mean, like, look, if somebody, let's just pretend I had to date again and I had Merlo at the time, and Merlo didn't like the person, she growled, she was like, I don't really like you. Oh, I wouldn't be with that dude.
Does your dog growl? Your dog is very, like, well-behaved. Doesn't bark.
She never barks. She only will wail in the morning when she wants me to get up. It's like, sounds like a wail. Like,
okay, that sounds like a cat.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds like a siren going off or something.
So you're saying it sounds like the mating call of a whale.
Yes,
That's what Merlot sounds like.
When she wants to get out of her kennel.
Now, does Merlot still have the Instagram?
Oh, yeah. At Merlot the Dow.
Is that what Merlot sounds
no!
like?
No! That is completely inaccurate. Fake news.
Well, I would... So I would encourage folks to go check out the
at Merlot the Dow.
Oh,
I think that took you a little off guard.
I've lost control.
There's
of the
very
show.
Few people she hasn't liked. I will say that she does not like cats. Fun fact.
Well, most dogs don't like cats.
Yeah, she really doesn't like cats.
And the feeling I think is mutual.
Yeah, it's definitely
cats
mutual.
Cats are very difficult.
They are.
We had one when I was a kid. We had Cuddles. That was the name of the cat. And Kitty Wayne.
Oh, Kitty what?
Kitty Wayne.
Like John Wayne?
Yes, but it was Kitty Wayne.
Aww.
Yeah, it was good. They were
That's
nice
cute.
Cats, but you know, I was a little thing, so you know. But we became a dog family, so we had collies.
Dogs all the way.
There you go. All right. So again, what's the dog's Instagram?
At Merlot the Dal, DAL.
Oh, for Dalmatian.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got that. All right. We have some great photographs on the Instagram.
She got to meet some of her fans the other day.
People very excited. Oh, and well, you'll have to tell people what happened at the bar. You were at the bar for the Memphis Grizzlies game.
Yeah, somebody had to, you know, check my ID just to get in there. You know, they do that. And anyway, I sat down. A few minutes later, the guy comes over and he goes, "Wait, you're Grace Baker. I listen to you and Todd every day. Y'all crack me up."
There you go.
So shout out to Shannon.
All right, Shannon. Well, thank you for listening. Folks, thank you for listening. We're going to do this all over again tomorrow. Be good, America.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.